Good morning. How's everybody? Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be in church? Amen. Yeah, what a great place to be on a Sunday morning. And there's no Packer game today, so we don't have to hurry, do we? I have one announcement before I get into what I want to share with you. The first week of December, we're going to talk about the street kids in Nepal. And every year, we help a young man that works with the street kids in Nepal to buy blankets for the kids, blankets for the widows, knit hats and shoes for the kids that live in the slums. So I'm just kind of warning you and giving you a little bit advance notice that the first week in December, we're going to talk more about that. $5 buys a blanket. $5 buys a pair of shoes and a nice warm hat. Amen? And we'll talk more about that the 1st of December. well, welcome. I'm Pastor Dennis. Real happy to be here. I want to talk a little bit about what Jesus had to say. He was in Caesarea Philippi, which is about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, and he was teaching there. And he asked his disciples one morning, "Who do you say I am?" First he said, "Who do the people say I am?" And his disciples said, "Well, they say you're John, they say you're Jeremiah, they say you're Elijah." But then Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, of all people, he spoke out and said, "You're the Christ. You're the Lord, you're the Savior." And Jesus said, "You're pretty smart, Peter." And he went on to say, "I'm going to build my church on the revelation that you've had." But listen to what the Message Bible says about how Jesus explained that. He said, "I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. I'm going to put together my church that's going to be so filled with energy that not even the gates of hell are going to be able to keep it out." Well, now I translated that, I paraphrased it to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Here's the way I see it. I'll put together my church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, a church so expansive with energy, a church that will elevate people to a life with me, a church that will equip people to become mature, authentic, fully devoted, Holy Spirit-led Christ followers. A church that will engage people outside of the walls of the building with the good news of a new covenant that I am making, and the gates of hell will not stop the energy of this church. Amen. Elevation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we have together. What awesome worship this morning, Lord. And we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And now I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today, both in worship and in your word and in fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. The church is the body of Christ. That's us. The church is the body of Christ, and that's us. Hudson Taylor, who was a pretty famous missionary, said this. He was a missionary in India, and he said this: "I used to ask God to help me, then I asked if I could help him. And I ended up asking him to do his work through me. Just use me," Hudson Taylor was saying. He surrendered his gifts, his talents, his abilities to everything God wanted to do or use him. This week in our staff meeting, Pastor Ryan brought up some scripture from Amos chapter 9 and then Acts chapter 15, which were the same scriptures. And they had to do with the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David was going to be rebuilt, God said, that would include all nations, all people, not just Israel. And in that, those scriptures, it said that some would, the words rebuilding, restoring, and repairing were used, both in Amos and in Acts chapter 15. We are the church, and there are some of us that are going to need some rebuilding if we're going to be and do what God wants us to do. Some of us are going to need restoring if we're going to be and do what God wants us to do. And some of us are going to need repairing. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. How do we go from there to being and doing what God really, really wants us to do? In the Bible, three times the Word of God uses the phrase, this one thing. David says in Psalm 27, this one thing that I desire, I want to seek him. Jesus, during the passage about Martha and Mary, Martha got all upset because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus instead of helping out in the kitchen. And Jesus said, well, this one thing she needs to do, and that is to sit at my feet and learn from me. And it won't be taken from her. And then Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, this one thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to look back, but I'm going to press forward. And I want to look at each one of those in a little more detail, okay? And see how that applies to our life, our church, and how we can energize it for the kingdom of God. So the first one thing is from Psalm 27, verse 4, and the Passion Translation, I think we might have somewhere, says this, here is the one thing I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in every one of my prayers. This one thing David desired, this one thing that he craved for, was that he could seek after Jesus, seek after the Lord. He wanted to be with him every minute of every day. And he wrote this just after he had mentioned his enemies. So he was looking way beyond his present circumstances. He was looking at seeking God, spending time with God, regardless of what his circumstances were. He said that he desired to spend time with the Lord. And, you know, that's kind of a key in our heart. We need to desire that. David's behavior wasn't always perfect, but the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And that's because he desired God above all else. He wanted to dwell in his presence all the days of his life. He wanted to behold his beauty all the days of his life. He wanted to inquire of the Lord. He wanted to talk to the Lord. He wanted to inquire with him, pray with him, ask him questions, spend time with him. David was a diligent seeker. And the Lord was the right target for his seeking, wasn't he? Are we focusing on the Lord like we should? Are we seeking him with all of our hearts like David did? Or do we pencil him in our daily plan when we have time or when we're not going to be too busy? I suspect that's the case for most of us, including me, from time to time. Do we desire him like he desires us? Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 4, the bride says to her lover, take me with you. Is that our heart? Or are we the same bride who four chapters later gets ready for bed, gets all dressed up, puts on her oil and washes her feet and crawls in bed, and there's a knock on the door and it's her lover, and she says, "Oh, forget it. I'm already prepared for bed." Or are we like the church in chapter 2 of Revelation that lost its first love? Or the Laodicean church that was lukewarm while Jesus was knocking on the door saying, "Please let me in, let me in." We need to get intimate with Jesus. We need to desire him, but it's going to take effort. The second one thing is from Luke chapter 10. And in the Passion Translation, it also says, "The Lord answered her, 'Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions?'" We could stop right there, couldn't we? How often are we pulled away from Jesus by so many distractions? Anyway, are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take that privilege from her. This one thing Mary did was sit at the feet of Jesus. She was listening to his voice, listening to his words, listening to his teaching. Mary was more interested in the Word of God than doing stuff for God. You know, I was in the Andaman Islands one year teaching pastors, and I said to the pastors, what's one of the biggest issues you have here in the Andaman Islands? And one pastor stood up and said, "We do a lot of work for God, but without God." Whoa, that's kind of like true in some places, isn't it? That's what Pastor Aaron was just talking about. What happened to the church? We do a lot of work for God, but without God. The focus is on us. The focus is on programs. The focus is on all kinds of stuff but Jesus. Well, Mary was focusing on Jesus, and Martha got all upset, and Jesus corrected her. She broke the cultural barriers. She took a risk. She was not supposed to be sitting with the men, listening to Jesus, getting taught by Jesus. But she knew that the Lord Jesus was the light of the path for her life. She knew and recognized that he was the Messiah. And she sat at the feet of Jesus, which was also a place of humility. And every time people in the Bible sat at the feet of Jesus, something special really, really happened. People were healed in Matthew chapter 15. People were delivered in Mark chapter 7. People rose from the dead in Luke chapter 8. And you can go back there and find these places and read them and study them. But you'll see that people came, they sat at the feet of Jesus, and then miraculous, supernatural things began to happen. We need to be reading God's Word, the one thing we do each day. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and humble ourselves and pick up a tip or two from him. We need to make the Word of God our best friend and the people within the Word of God friends as well. Maybe you could start by reading the letters in red, because they're the words of Jesus. And when we know Jesus, we'll know the heart of the Father. I tried reading through the Bible once in a year. That was 40 years ago, and I haven't tried it since. I'm German. That means I got to get it done. It's got to be orderly. So I read through the Bible in a year, but I didn't learn a thing because it was an assignment. So now I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. Oh, please, I don't want to get any emails or text messages or things. Go ahead and do that. But for me, I crawl through the Bible. word by word, verse by verse. And I think about it. A long time ago, I learned how to study the Bible, and I'll just share this with you. Maybe someday we can teach even more about it. It's kind of like going on a missions trip. When you go into a passage in the Bible, go there, like a missions trip, and then look around. Who's here? What are they doing? Where did they come from? Why are they here? What are they talking about? What's the main point going on here? And then put yourself in it. Don't rush to apply it. Think about what's going on. Then bring it home like you would on a missions trip. And ponder what you just experienced. And then apply it to your life. Because then you'll put it in the proper context. So when you study the Bible, when you want to study the Word of God, I would encourage you to walk through it slowly, purposefully. Sit in the quiet presence of Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you as you read. Remember this, too. Jesus is not surprised at what we do or what we say or maybe when we sin. He knows all about us. I think what he's most surprised is that we don't want more of him, that we don't want more of his word. When we take the time to be with him, spend intimate time with him, a lot of things begin to change around us. The glory of God is revealed to us. The Holy Spirit is manifested when we seek him. There's a difference between just the Holy Spirit being with us and the Holy Spirit being manifested. You saw the Holy Spirit being manifested here this morning during worship. That was awesome. And I was sitting there thinking, well, we're going to be worshiping in heaven, not teaching. Maybe we ought to be keeping this thing going. It was awesome, Pastor Julie. David said in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So will you scratch out some time with him this week? Will you just sit in his presence and listen to the Holy Spirit instead of asking for stuff? Will you read a few words in your Bible? Maybe the words in red? Will you take a risk? Get up early? Stay late? The third one thing is in Philippians. This is my favorite of the three. I like all three, but this is my favorite. Paul says this in the New Living Testament, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. That alone is enough. I want to know Christ and the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. I don't like that part. I'm going to share in his death so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. He's calling all of us to be a part of this church, if you're here and you've committed to it. He's calling us to be a part of the church universal, which is the body of Christ. He's calling us to use our gifts, our talents, to put energy into Elevation Church so that we can equip and we can engage people around us in this community and elsewhere. But this one thing, he said, I forget the past. You can't do that if you keep hanging on to the past. You can't do that if you keep hanging, worrying about the future either. Paul says he's not going to focus on the past.
He's not going to waste time reaching back. He's not going to go to Egypt. He was going to spend his energy on today and reaching forward to the things that were in front of him that God put there so that he could fulfill the call on his life. We've all made a lot of mistakes, and we've all had a lot of successes in one way or another. But they're behind us. They're not here. All of our sins, all of our trophies are behind us. And we don't need to focus on them. Yesterday's gone, whether it was good or bad. And nothing can change that. Willie Nelson sang a song that went, some of the lyrics were something like this. I live one day at a time. I dream one dream at a time. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow is blind. So I live one day at a time. It's the enemy who wants us to focus on the past, good or bad. He wants us to focus on the shame, the guilt, all the great things we did yesterday, so that he distracts us from what God is calling us to do today, to be a part of building his church. If you go all the way back to verse 7 in that Philippians chapter, you'll see that Paul says that things that were gained to me, I count as nothing in order to know Christ. He's willing to count everything as garbage in order to know Christ better and to be found by him, it says, and to have the righteousness that's found only in Jesus Christ, to know him and to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and then be conformed to his death. That means dying to the things of this world in my life that are distracting me from serving and knowing Christ in a better way. And to press on to the upward call of Christ. We spend way too much time in the past. We spend way too much time worrying about the future. I think it's time to spend time pressing forward, searching for, asking for, praying for, diligently seeking what the Lord has for us, what his purpose is, what the call on our life really is, and begin to repair and rebuild and restore. Maybe that what the devil has taken from us. Forget the past. And don't be anxious for the future. Forget the past. And don't be anxious for the future. My wife worked in a doctor's office. And she said the one thing doctors hate is when the appointment's all over. The patient says, oh, by the way. I have a by the way for you. By the way. Some of you have put periods in your life where there should be a comma. And some of you have put commas in your life where you should have put a period. Let me say that again. Some of you, you think it's over. You can't be used anymore. You're too sinful, unworthy, made too many mistakes, too old. So you put a period in your life. You should have put a comma because God's not done yet. He hasn't written the last chapter. And there are some parts of our life where We should have put a period. It was over and there's a new season for us. Something new and fresh that he's calling us to. And we're still hanging on, putting commas instead of giving up and moving on to the new fresh thing. That's important to somebody here. And that was worth the price of admission. I want to challenge everybody here to chase after the three one things that I mentioned. Be committed to this church, which is so active in energy that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is a good church. And it's filled with energy that God wants to use to touch this community and the region and other parts of the world. Plug yourself in. Ask God to use you like Hudson Taylor did. And remember the three one things. Seek God like never before. Sit in his presence. Get into the Word of God. Find out what he's got for you. I think he speaks to us that way more than any other way if we go there. And third, don't look back. Put your trophies in a box somewhere and shine them once a year or something. And you've heard me share this verse before. It's absolutely one of my favorite because it applies to me. And I want to share it with you. It's from the Passion Bible. It's Psalm 139, verses 4 through 7, and it says this. Lord, you know every step that I take, even before my journey begins. I just think about that for a moment. You know every step I take, Lord. Even before my journey begins, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing. This is just too wonderful. Too deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Amen. Ministry team, if you want to come forward. Lord, I just thank you for this time that you gave us today. Thank you for reminding us to seek you. Thank you for reminding us to desire you more with all of our hearts. Thank you for reminding us to take a risk. Chase you down. Go after you. Thank you for reminding us to put away the things of the past. Both failures and successes, because they're history. Thank you for reminding us that you're building a church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that is so energized by the Holy Spirit, by your presence, by fellowship, by the teaching, by the worship, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Thank you for reminding us of that today, Lord. Thank you for the leadership in this church who have committed so much. Pastor Ryan. Pastor Aaron, Pastor Rick, Pastor Julie and the elder, Pastor Josh, Pastor Lana, Pastor Joel. Thank you, Lord, for people who care. And they too are filled with the energy that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. If any part of what I shared touches you and you need prayer, these men and women of God are wanting to pray with you. And or if you need healing, or you need prayer for anything at all, take a few minutes and come up here and join hands with these people and let them pray for you. Besides that, have a wonderful day, and may God bless you.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.